Nelson picked off by David Pastrnak. A dangle. Here he comes. He'll delay to the slot. A shot. He scores! Hat-trick! David Pastrnak!
Here's McKinnon towards the net. Kept away from Rantanen. Now McKinnon with room. Moves in and shoots. He scores! Nathan McKinnon, 4-0 Avalanche!
The decision to go with Rodin was Flower had just played 7 games in 14 days and an emotional game 7. You know, it was a perfect opportunity in our minds to use our other starter, and that's been a strength of ours all year, and to make sure Rodin got in the game and stayed sharp because we know we're going to need him. You know, I wouldn't change the decision. The game tonight wasn't about Rodin Leonard. We didn't play well enough in front of him.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into another episode of Our Line Starts, fueled by Dunkin'. And I'm joined today by two former teammates, Dominic Moore and Colby Armstrong. What's up, guys?
Circa 2006, KT, the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, and you know what? You could say that to probably almost everybody that comes on this podcast that they played with Dom, too. Dom has played with a lot of guys. It's a perk of getting to play with a lot of teams. You get to know a lot of good guys.
And Colby, welcome. Your debut on Our Line Starts. We're very excited to have you.
Yeah.
You got to give me a good Dom story. Do you have any good Dom stories? Yeah, we got to break you in here.
I can't Colby, really remember.
How about training camp 2006 Pittsburgh? Do you remember the Wingate bike? How's your memory? Is it fading already? Because
it's fading on me, but I know I wasn't very good at it. I don't know. I had some freak out sessions about it because I was so nervous.
So the Wingate test, KT, is this sprint that you do on the bike. It's one of the two bike tests that guys just dread. I mean, you're just the anxiety alone. It kills you. Waiting for this test, you know you're going to puke after, you know it's the hardest thing you're going to do, and so you're waiting all day to do this test, and when I got on, and this bike is like hooked up to all these computers and stuff, and so I got on the bike and I was kind of like midway through the pack, and as I started, it's just a 30 second sprint, so you just go as hard as you can go, and as I started the sprint, the pedal
Yes, I remember that.
Attaches to the leg. So do you remember this, Colby? So the leg just breaks off on the bike.
Didn't have to do it.
Yeah, and so what happens was then the wheel that was attached to the thing came off its thing, and it actually like sliced through the middle of this computer that had all of the data on it.
Oh my God.
And so then like half the team didn't have to do their test. Thanks to me. I was like a legend of training camp.
The legend of training camp. Everybody wanted to play with you, Dom. That's why everybody wanted to play with you over the course of their career.
The only guy that ever broke the bike doing the Wingate test, unbelievable power exertion, power output, by Dom. And yeah, I do remember that because I was freaking out about it. I remember when it happened, I was like giddy. I was so giddy that I wasn't going to be able to do it. And I was talking to the trainers and stuff and they were like, I don't think we're going to be able to do this. And I was just like, oh my God. Like, literally not even joking. Half the team didn't do it, which is that never happens. Now they have like 100 bikes, you know?
Yeah, they've got the Dom rule in effect that'll never happen again. Yeah. Let's get multiple bikes. It's a good story. Well, guys, we are just out of round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. As we are recording this, actually, it'll be game 7 tonight between Montreal and Toronto. So we will not acknowledge that series, although I'm very excited to see what the outcome of that one's going to be. But
that's why I'm all dressed up here. Not just
you're all dressed up in the phone booth there and your own little voice booth. But I do want to talk about the playoffs in general, guys. And, you know, let's start with the biggest the most impressive team that you've seen so far in these Stanley Cup playoffs. Who would you say that's been? Colby, why don't you lead it off?
Well, I'd have to say Colorado, and for many reasons. I don't know, maybe Dom is going to say the same thing. They're a pretty impressive team. You know, top to bottom, depth, speed, dynamic skill all through their lineup. And, you know, again, we're getting to see also on top of it is one question mark was their goaltending, and Grubauer's been pretty solid thus far. So, yeah, they've just been excited. And the more fans we see in the games now and everything's getting pumped up and, you know, these series are getting more amped up. We're starting to see the excitement in Colorado for their team and, Jared Bednar and this group and what they're building towards. So yeah, they're to me just super impressive. I picked at the start, Vegas to win. Did I say Vegas wrong? Vegas.
Vegas
to win the cup. But now that I've been watching Colorado, I'm like, oh my goodness, like what, how do you stop these guys?
Yeah, I agree with Colorado's been super impressive. I won't belabor that point other than to say that Cale Makar is taking it to a whole new level. This guy is unbelievable. But because Colby mentioned Colorado, I'll mention the Bruins. And they were my pick before the playoffs started. And they just look really good. I mean, Washington was ahead of them all season long. And they just got the job done when they needed to. They've got the depth now contributing. They got the deadline guys contributing. They got a mentally fresh Tuukka Rask. And sometimes after a long layoff, you know, you get through your series early, you come back and you're a little bit rusty, but they did not look that way. And obviously having fans in their building was a huge boost.
Yeah.
So man, they've been impressive to me top to bottom.
Yeah, the Bruins certainly look good. They're rolling right now. Pasta with the hat trick in game number two, game one, actually. Unreal. I'm getting ahead of myself already here in round number two. But all right, so we've talked about impressive. I'm curious to get your guys' impressions on the most disappointing team in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, it's always disappointing when a team gets bounced in the first round, but can you guys pinpoint maybe the biggest disappointment and the team you expect a little bit more from?
Well, we can't comment on one that's will have been in the rearview mirror come Wednesday. So I'm going to go with the Edmonton Oilers. And, yeah, you know, it's a pretty easy pick. You know, you've got two of the best players on the planet that are basically shut out. And it was remarkable effort from Winnipeg. And I don't know what to say other than the fact that you had two players that had played on separate lines throughout the season and dominated, and they got out to a slow start. They put them all on one line. And then after that line, there was just nothing to speak of from Edmonton. And Mike Smith was good. It wasn't the goaltending. So boy, a lot of questions to answer this offseason for the Oilers.
Yeah. And I, you know what, KT, I'd have to agree with that. I mean, I was racking my brain thinking of, you know, what our expectations going in. And I think there's just different expectations for Edmonton as well, Morzy. So, yeah, you know, two superstar players obviously garner a ton of attention and a ton of expectations with the way that McDavid kind of trounced the league down the stretch on his way passing 100 points this season, which I didn't think anyone could do. And Leon Draisaitl and, yeah, they just kind of fell flat, obviously, and Winnipeg had their number in a lot of different areas. So I guess if I could throw one more name in there, it's a team that I cover in Pittsburgh and live there. And they're kind of a team, too, that won their division and pushed hard down the stretch and was making all kinds of racket as a contending team. And the addition of Jeff Carter at the trade deadline was looking to be like the most genius trade acquisition of this trade deadline, or one of them. And the inability to get through the Islanders once again, it just, I think, has left them pretty frustrated and unsure of what happened. But once again, it's the expectations, right? The expectations where you're supposed to get by them.
Yeah, and the pressure in Pittsburgh is always high. I mean, this is a team that every single year we're saying, oh, they're going to be a Stanley Cup contender. Is it because of the pedigree, the three Stanley Cups they've won, and the guys that are in that lineup? I mean, I guess so, but at the end of the day, they weren't able to produce past the first round, and that's been kind of a repeat storyline for them in these playoffs. Yeah. So, yeah, for sure, I'd have to say Pittsburgh as well, but Edmonton, no question. I mean, two of the biggest superstars in the league, but you can't have a team with just two players, as you guys know. No. So let's take a look at the odds powered by PointsBet Sportsbook. And this is an interesting one. It's the division of the Stanley Cup winner. So which division is going to produce the Stanley Cup winner this year? And I think It's no surprise because you guys have mentioned this team over and over again, but the West leads the way up at plus 110. So that would be, my guess is Colorado Avalanche, if you're reading between the lines here. Then the Central, then the East, and then the North. So nobody's given the North a shot to win the Stanley Cup, I guess. But do you guys agree with these points bet odds?
I do. I do agree. And you know, watching the North games too, it's just, it's been different just watching it, right? As a fan, just, I think, you know, Dom and I have both mentioned the crowds and what the fans have been able to do. And yeah, we saw some fans at the Montreal game the other day. And I think, you know, Toronto is going to have some fans for game seven as well, which not a lot. I think 550 fans are going to get in there, but
first,
you know, for,
too, which will
yeah,
be great
first,
for
it's awesome, right? Like who doesn't want to see them at the game? So yeah this is I think it changes the feel when you're watching, though, in watching all these series. There's no doubt that those other, you know, divisions and those teams there are superior, though, when you watch those games. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe we'll get into it. Why did they start Leonard? I don't know why they started Leonard, but, like, I think that series is still going to shape up to be awesome with Colorado and Vegas.
Was it Vegas or what are we saying?
Las Vegas.
What did you say the first time? Vegas?
Vegas.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Like the way, say pasta. How do you say pasta? Pasta.
Drama.
Yeah, it's a drama. Canadian accent.
It is.
You guys all say Vegas.
Oh man, let me just help you out, Army. It's spelled V-A-Y-G-U-S. That's
yeah. There you go. Yeah, that's good. That's actually really
good. That's right.
Yeah. So in terms of the odds, I don't know if I agree with the odds. I, you know, it comes down to basically what teams you think are going to win. I don't, you know, obviously I think Colorado is a juggernaut, but, and you've got the defending champs. I think that Tampa, Carolina, ooh, that's a really strong division.
Yeah.
And I like the Bruins, as I said. So I think the West, when you look at a lot of people's ripping on the North this year, but you look at the West, like there were some weak teams in that division. Like the California teams were pretty much, you know, I'd say doormats for a lot of the year. LA had a couple weeks where they were making a push, but, and same thing with San Jose, but Vegas cleaned up against those three teams. And then they were pretty much 500 against Minnesota and Colorado. So you could say that Vegas might have been a bit overrated in terms of playoff contention. We'll see how that series plays out, but I wouldn't count any division out, including the North.
I found it interesting, KT, that like we haven't even really mentioned Tampa, and Morrissey just did briefly. I mean, yeah, it's crazy. They're kind of sneaking under the radar.
How you doing? We got a food delivery here. Look at this.
Wow. Look at this. Tom gets a hi.
You want to say hello to the
hello to everybody.
Our Line Starts podcast.
Hello to the podcast. Look at this guy.
Appreciate it. What do you got?
Can he come over here?
Time out. We got to interrupt the podcast because Dom is getting a food delivery. What a network superstar. I don't even know him anymore. Colby and I are slumming it in our green room.
We just took it away, though.
We don't get any food. He's giving it down. He's bringing it down to Colby. That's why.
Mr. Moore, your beef Wellington is ready.
I sent the chicken parm down to Colby's room.
Nice. I love it. I am glad though, Dom, that you are in a lovelier setting than you have been in the weeks that you've filmed it from your basement with the electrical closet.
That's awesome.
I appreciate it.
Come a long way.
Yeah, you have. Yeah. You have. Let's talk about this because we've mentioned a couple times, and Colby, you kind of dangled in it for a minute there, but the Vegas Colorado series game one, we see Robin Lehner in net. Pete DeBoer makes the decision to sit Marc-Andre Fleury, who the hot hand he's been riding. Now, I understand, maybe give him a little bit of rest. Maybe that's the argument there. But I mean, did you agree with this decision to let Robin Lehner start game one of round two after about a 3-week layoff, not having played?
Me, you want me to answer this?
Yes, please.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, I didn't know. I was like amazed at it. I was like kind of shaking my head at why they would do this. And you know, as the game ran away, like Fleury was not coming in. So it's clear they were like, Hey, Lehner, you're going to take this one for the team kind of thing.
Take it on the chin. Yeah.
And they just kind of let him sit in there with this Colorado team sitting for a bunch of days of rest and waiting for them. And, you know, maybe that was kind of in the back of the team's mind all along, but I don't know. I just feel like it's the playoffs and Lehner's no slouch. Like, don't get me wrong. He's a good goaltender, but it's like, Fleury's your guy. The team loves this guy. The team's playing for this guy. He's earned the net. There had been, you know, things in the past with these guys and this team and playoff history that has kind of, you know, was a big deal last year in the bubble. So I kind of just felt like, you know what, go with him. If he falters or if the game gets out of hand, pull him, put Lehner in there. He's your backup right now. Put him in there. Let him sit out the night until game two after that. But I think that was a mistake off the start. We'll see how they rebound, of course, but I didn't like it.
Not much to add. I mean, it was definitely, obviously it's easy for us in hindsight, but I mean, you've got Fleury. He's clearly earned the starting role. I know that they've alternated these guys in the past and Robin Lehner is an A1, but gosh, I mean, especially the way Colorado moves the puck. And they're always doing these seam passes back and forth. And I just felt like you needed the more athletic goaltender in net, and that's Fleury. There was a number of plays in that game where the movement from Lehner couldn't keep up with the passing from Colorado.
Great point. Totally great point. Like the backhand short side one, I thought that should be stopped. And then the second goal was like across the Royal Road pass that you could get across for. And that's what Dom's talking about. Like, crazy circuit Cirque du Soleil Fleury coming across and making that save. Like, that's what he does.
Yeah, and I'm also concerned for Robin Lehner because you look at him and he gets completely lit up in this game. And, you know, some goals allowed maybe were a little bit questionable. I mean, the guy hadn't played in 3.5 weeks. He is a tremendous goaltender. He's a starting goaltender on possibly half the teams in the National Hockey League. But now you think about his confidence going into the situation where they are going to need to go to him as a backup. Because, listen, it's inevitable at some point if this team makes a run for the cup, at some point he's going to have to come back in. And now what have you done to his, you know, his mindset as a starting goaltender? I know they're trained to come into these situations, but that's kind of what I worried about. You know, you bring this goalie in to start game one and then you allow him to get shelled and now he's got to go back and sit on the bench. It's just not a good
How about this, KT? Not only that, but now you've also disrupted Fleury's rhythm because you took him out for a game. So maybe you went from, you know, having at least one goalie to potentially neither of them at the top of their games. That's all speculative, but
yeah, with a high flying Colorado Avalanche team. Yeah. Good luck. Yeah. All right, let's get to the cold brew check fueled by Dunkin'. Again, you guys, 2 minutes to answer this. So we know how the Avs dominated the Golden Knights in game one. Can Vegas make this a series? Colby started off.
No, of course they can. Of course they can. The one thing that concerns me is the goal scoring because Colorado seems to just kind of score whenever they want, but of course they can. I think they're deep. They're quick. They're tenacious team. I think it's going to be a physical series. I'm hoping they can rebound after that game one beatdown and kind of get through it. I know we're recording this. We'll see what's left to be said with Ryan Reeves and where he ends up as well. But I think they can make this a series. I truly can in adjusting and how they're going to play this team. Look, their power play is crazy. In Colorado, they're going to have to stay out of the box, but they can make life tough for these guys to battle back into this series and make it something and bring it back to the fortress. It's going to be crazy in the fortress.
It's crazy. How about you, Dom?
I don't think they can. I think this Colorado team, you know, honestly, I thought St. Louis was not a doormat. Like they're a seasoned veteran team who plays a physical brand of hockey, and the Avs just skated circles around them. And Vegas might be a little bit tired out from that, you know, longer series than they would have liked in the first round. And I just don't see, in terms of the matchup, you know, in the playoffs, it's a lot about the matchups. And I don't see a ton of areas where I would give Vegas the edge, except in goal. And that's to me, if they can get Fleury back in there and he can kind of steal a series, that to me is the only way it gets done.
Yeah, that was the Cold Brew Tech fueled by Dunkin' this season. Be sure to grab a cold brew for game time, because where there's hockey, there's Dunkin'. All right, guys, I'm going to wrap this up by saying, Dom, kudos to you for being spot on with all of the game winner goals in overtime. I mean, money. Oh, I hope you went out and bought a lottery ticket or something, because you can pick the winning numbers, I'm sure, too. And by the way, we all get a cut of it if you do. But Colby, unreal. The guy's not real. He picks the winner every single time.
I mean, I saw this montage thing put together on social media. I was like on Twitter, and I texted him right when I saw it. I was like, oh my goodness, this is unbelievable. And I think what's the guy's name? Nostradamus, like that predicted everything. And I forget what I texted to him, like Nostradamus, like Dom.
Dominic.
Dominic. Yeah. Stupid like that. But it was, it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing run you've had, Dom. Yeah. Congratulations.
I'm just annoyed with him that he didn't order us a pizza when we went into triple overtime of the Winnipeg game, and it's like 2 a.m. and, you know, we're looking for our next meal. We hadn't eaten in 6 hours, and Dom couldn't even put out any money for a pizza. But anyway,
Anson was giving me a hard time about talking about pizza on the air during the Subway intermission report.
It's the little things. It's what we have to do to get through the playoffs. Guys, it's been fun being with you. We'll see you all for another episode next time of Our Line Starts, fueled by Dunkin'.